Get Pucked.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Get Pucked. As with me as always is Dave and Matt. Guys, thanks Hello. For joining. By the way, this episode, which is episode 28, is sponsored by Cafe Victoria's. Cafe Victoria's is located at 8600 L'Angelier in Saint-Leonard, Quebec, in the east end of Montreal. You can go there to get tasty food, delicious Italian sandwiches, some, don't forget to ask about their lunch specials, fantastic coffee and drinks, and just make sure to ask for Paulo and Peter when you get there. Paulo or Peter, depending what time of the day. Peter's a little bit on the older side of things, but Cafe Victoria's. I love him. What can I say? You can also check their website at cafevictorias.ca if you want to see their menu ahead of time and see what they're all about. With that being said, guys, I got questions for you. And they are Habs-related questions, obviously. So I want to know, in your opinion, out of all the players that we've seen this season, God, has there been plenty that came in and out of the lineup, which Yep. player has disappointed you the most? Dave.
Nice. I get this answer first. I get to answer this first. I mean, there's obviously one. There's one answer to this. That's Jeff
Petrie. No.
I don't want to rag on Jeff Petrie, so I'm actually going to pass on that answer, and I'll give it to Matt. My answer is going to be Brendan Gallagher, I think. I think
I set the expectations too high on like episode 5 or whatever it was, right?
Not only that, technically, just a little too high. It's a little too high, Vito. But look, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, we used to be able to count on him for 30 goals a season here in Montreal. And that was what the fan base expected. That was, you know, I don't think he's playing up to, I know I get those injuries, there was whatever, it's a COVID season, tons of complications. But to me, I think that you're looking at a guy who's making a lot of coin in the next little while, you expected a little bit more from Brendan Gallagher. And so to me, that would be my answer. I think that Brendan Gallagher, he does have excuses. Don't get me wrong. He has a ton of reasons and probably, but I think that this we're starting to see probably as we talked about earlier on in the season, the start of his, you know, downhill slope. And so he would be my answer to that question.
Do you think that maybe for Brendan Gallagher, it could be fatigue and injuries? And if he gets a proper off season, maybe we can. No, Matt, you're already nodding.
I mean, look, he could bounce back and be an impactful player. Can he be a 30 goal scorer? Can he be a second first line guy? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think that he's a third line guy now. He's a guy who's going to give you that veteran presence. He's going to slowly morph into a Corey Perry type of guy who's like, you know, everybody loves and everybody loves to play with and everyone loves to have on his team. But ultimately at the end of the day, he's going to take long stretches off in the middle of the season where he doesn't produce too much. He's going to be in and out of the lineup probably with some, you know, aches and pains, especially the way Brendan Gallagher plays. And that's that. Fans will still love him. He'll still get the points here and there. He'll get a big goal here or there. He'll be an important part of the team. He's going to help the young guys and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think that I'm not saying he can't produce, but I'm just saying I think we're done seeing the Brendan Gallagher that we're used to.
Matt?
I mean, I'll pick up on the Gallagher thing. Obviously, Jeff Petrie, to answer your question, is the clear winner of the one that disappointed you the most. I think anybody who says anybody else otherwise is crazy. But to not state the obvious, just to touch a little bit on Brendan Gallagher, before I give you my pick, who is not Brendan Gallagher, Brendan Gallagher's contract is an albatross for a third-line player. Right, I think everybody can agree to that. I also think that contract was given for services rendered, not what services are going to be given. Whether that's right or wrong is up for debate.
Wrong, no debate.
It's listen. I mean, you can say he was grossly underpaid for a really long time, and he's getting his dues now. But yes, this is a business. I agree with you. He is overpaid, and frankly, I mean, you know, you compare him to Corey Perry or what Corey Perry is at now. Corey Perry almost has 20 goals this season, huh?
I know. Don't get me
wrong. Which is insane. But yes, my to your point, I think what Brendan Gallagher can bring to this team is the heart. I mean, whether he's hurt or not, you always see him battle. You always see him.
No, I'm just joking.
not a heart trophy in any stretch of the imagination ever. But he's got the grit. He's got the heart. He is a Hab through and through. I don't see you moving Brendan Gallagher. I don't see other teams really knocking your door for Brendan Gallagher. I love the guy. I love the player for what he did. I still think he has value here. I think obviously he's obviously overpaid, but you can't really do much about that. So I'm not going to be disappointed with him. I expected this now. What my disappointment is Mike Hoffman. Mike Hoffman disappointed the actual shit out of me. I didn't expect him to come in here and torch it. I didn't.
How many names are you going to choose? You've already taken three players, and one of them is the one I was going to mention.
Well, and not saying Jeff Peachy because it's too easy, and he took Brendan Gallagher, but I did have a point I wanted to make about him. But Mike Hoffman, to me, without question, is the most disappointing player on the team after Jeff Peachy. This guy came in. Mike Hoffman, everywhere he goes, is supposed to be the sniper. Everywhere he goes, he's supposed to be the power play specialist. Everywhere he goes, he's supposed to generate offense. Mike Hoffman does not do those things on this team. You have little bits of glimmer here and there. But all in all, I think even he would admit this has been a very down season for him. So, this is a guy who we're saddled with for another 2 years, contract-wise. Likely will be moved in the offseason, I would think. But again, you're selling him at an all-time low. However, just to get him off the books, it might be worth something to consider. So give me Mike Hoffman.
Just name the rest of the roster, please.
No, I'm good there.
And screw me over a little bit more.
Hoffman's an interesting one because yes, he was brought in to be a sniper, but the way he's being used on the power play arguably is terrible. He's not there. He's not supposed to be the point man on the power play, right? And I find that he's often used that way. And he's not properly, he's supposed to be just snipe at home guy on the power play and get those, rack up the goals. And I don't think he's used properly here. So you could argue that. But, he's also a guy who came in with the character issues, right? Like, I think, I don't know if he's beloved. There was that whole situation in Ottawa, right? I don't want to get into it and everything. And, there was reports all the time that, I wouldn't touch this guy. His teammates don't like him, stuff like that. So I don't know if we're starting to see the end also of Mike Hoffman. But he was a guy that I also rooted for to come here because I thought he fit their problem.
I thought this was a big pickup. I also thought it was a big pickup. I was excited, and that's why it's disappointing to see.
For his cap hit and offensively speaking, the numbers that he was putting up, or at least his averages, you would think, okay, this was a very good fit for Montreal. Mm-hmm. At the very least, at the beginning of the season, they figured, okay, Cole Caulfield would play on the left, and he'd be a sniper on one power play line, but then you'd have you could back that up with Hoffman on the second power play line, and all of a sudden you have two snipers on each line. It didn't work out. It's not working out. I mean, Hoffman's not even remotely close to his offensive numbers that he normally puts up on any other team. I mean, when you look at it, he's not scoring the 25-30 goals a season this year. It's not even coming close to that. And he's not putting up 50-plus points this season. Not even coming close to that. Even if he was injured at the beginning of the season or whatnot, he's not even on pace on an 82-game season to hit the numbers that he normally does. So before Matt even mentioned 46 of the 46 players on the entire Montreal roster and organization, I was going to mention Mike Hoffman as my biggest disappointment. I'm going to put in two categories. You have most disappointment and the worst player on the team. Okay, I'm going to break it down. The worst player by far, because I didn't expect him to fall off a cliff, is Jeff Petrie.
But that's the definition of disappointment.
No, it's not thing. For me. No, because Jeff Petrie was so unexpected for me. Jeff Petrie, that's it's like, he doesn't want to play hockey anymore.
But that's literally what we both just said. We said we're not even going to talk Jeff Petrie because it's so glaringly the most obvious one. He was the worst and most disappointing player on the team.
I'm just disappointed. I just had certain expectations of – I didn't have any expectations of Jeff Petrie in a sense. I just thought he was going to come in, plug and play, and this is who he was going to be.
I mean, I guess.
Okay.
Versus Hoffman, I expect him to come into Montreal and he's going to hit 30 goals. He's going to be a 55-30 goal guy. He didn't do it. Well, he's done that once, but he's done 36 goals. He's done 29 goals in two separate seasons, albeit they weren't complete seasons, but he hit them. So when you look at his pace, he's a guy who he's a 30
he should be 25 to 30. He should be 25 to 30. So yeah.
He's not even flirting with that.
He has 11.
Yeah, in 62 games.
Yeah.
In 82
disappointing.
Games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. That's Mike Hoffman for me. I don't even know if they can. They'll be able to move him if they really want to. It's just not at the.
I don't know if it would be that easy to move him, man. I don't know if the season he had. I don't know if there's gonna be any takers for a guy like Mike Hoffman. I think it's gonna be hard to move him. I think they're stuck with him for the next.
I think they can move him for a loss.
So you could trade him for a loss, maybe.
I think they're going to try to trade him for a loss. I think another team's going to look at him and say, "Oh, Montreal is terrible."
The thing is, guys, with the Canadiens is like, how many people are we going to take for a loss? You know, Carey Price is going to be traded for a loss. Brandon Gallo is going to be traded for a loss. Mike Hoffman's going to be traded for a loss. Eventually, you're just going to be a loser. Like, no offense, but you can't keep dealing everybody that's disappointing for a loss. Jonathan Drouin is going to be moved for a loss. Everyone's going to cut. You're going to cut all your ties with anyone who's debatable and not get anything back in return. True. Of note, I don't know, man. Eventually, you do need a guy like Mike Hoffman. Still, does have some promise in him, right? Like,
he can have a bounce back year next year.
He's being
paid a salary where you can see him on a three. Oh my god, yeah.
He's exactly. Gonna,
I think teams will take him. There will be teams that'll take a flyer on him. Teams that are probably not necessarily up against the cap, but want to take a chance on a sniper that doesn't cost too much. And maybe would be paired well with a better center than what he's been playing in a sense.
I understand that the Bears are going to take him, but you're not going to get what you want for him. You're going to have to take him at a loss. And again,
Given that they're on a rebuild, or if you want to call it whatever word to use, transforming the team, transitioning, I think just getting the cap off is going to be good enough for Kent Hughes.
I don't know, man. He doesn't have a
bad free agent.
I won't be surprised if he sticks around. I won't be surprised. But I think if a team comes knocking and says, listen, we'll take him completely off your books and we'll give you something respectable back, I can also see them moving him.
Okay,
either way.
We've spoken about which players disappointed you. Which player do you think this year, albeit it's been a terrible year, so it's going to be hard to kind of figure it out, but which player has met your standards or has done well enough to say, okay, I'm happy with what I'm seeing? Or I'm happy with where this is going, if there's anybody.
Well, Nick Suzuki, I think he's on the right track, right? He's not lighting the world on fire as people had expected. And same with Cole Caulfield, but you could see that they're progressing. And I think that on a season like this, that's lost. That's all you can ask for, really, is a bit of progression. Obviously, you could ask for more. I think Alexander Romanov is another. If you don't have. So some people have like unrealistic expectations for Romanov, right? So like he's gonna come in, he's gonna be Andrei Markov or whatnot. Like if you take that out of the equation and stop with and temper your expectations for Alexander Romanov, I think that he's a guy who's progressing very, very well. They lean on him so much. He has plays the most minutes every night almost. Mm-hmm. He's very, very impressive with what he's done. He's an NHL defenseman. And, you know, we spoke about it last year. Is he going to be a top two defenseman? Is he going to be a top four defenseman? I don't know. Probably not. But you got to be happy with what you see from Alexander Romanov.
I would think his ceiling would probably be a number three.
Yeah.
That's his ceiling. If he doesn't reach the ceiling, four, five sometimes.
A second pair. He's a very strong second pair defenseman. He's a second pair. Yeah. No, exactly. He's been good too.
So I was going to say Romanov because Suzuki, again, for me, I knew he was going to have a better year than he did before. He's just, you could tell he's that kind of player, at least statistically speaking.
Are you disappointed? Were you expecting more from Nick Suzuki?
No, I just, honestly, I didn't have an expectation in the sense that I wanted him to be a point-of-game player. If he was going to hit it, great. Did I think there was the potential for him to be a point-of-game player? I mean, I think a lot of people saw the Montreal Canadiens roster before, you know, right after the Stanley Cup Finals and said, hey, they have a good chance. Look, they're adding Hoffman. They're adding this. They're adding that. And then once they saw, okay, they didn't address the Shea Weber need, or, you know, before we found out what was really happening with Carey Price and so on, we kind of thought, okay, Suzuki's got a chance of being a point of game player. But my expectations were, was he going to progress from the year before? We saw he had two consecutive 41-point seasons, and you saw his game was evolving in certain aspects of it, defensively and whatnot. And I just wanted to make sure, or at least for myself, see that there was going to be some forward progression there. And there is. I mean, statistically, his numbers are higher. Yeah, plus minus. I mean, can't really factor in plus minus if you're one of those that follow that on a team that's basically a last place team or one, second to last place team. But yeah, I'm happy for Suzuki. But my biggest, I think the player that took the biggest leap, albeit he makes some mistakes, but he's eating up more minutes. He's playing well defensively. You could see he's not just going and try to hit everything, is Romanov.
You brought up a name that oddly enough, I haven't heard mentioned in a while. I'm just curious. Will we ever hear Shea Weber talk to the Montreal media, the fan, anything? Will we ever hear from him again? Or is he kind of off to the sunset?
he's off to the sunset until his awkward situation gets resolved. Nobody wants to hear Shea Weber bumber around when our hardcore media asks him, well, what's your situation? Is this cap circumvention? Are you know what I mean? Like, there's no point in having Shea Weber address the media and face this media with these questions. Like, just let everyone forget about Shea Weber off the book, because eventually the NHL is going to take a look at these, you know, these type of situations and you don't want it to start with Shea Weber, right?
No,
you don't
want it. Certainly not. But I know there was a moment when, like, before Price talked to people, everybody's like, oh, Price has to speak. He has to speak. And Weber has to speak. He's still technically captain.
Matt, it's clear now, right? Bergevin made it clear before he was let go that it's unlikely we would ever see Shea Weber. Kent Hughes has come in and it's like, we've already tried, you know, we almost traded away his contract. He's done. And that's all we need to know as fans, as people who run podcasts, whatever. He is done as a hockey player. Will he be part of an administration for some team? Probably. And at that point, maybe only then you'll hear him talk about anything, and it probably won't even be about this. So Shea Weber does not have to address anything. He has his right to his privacy.
I'm not asking or suggesting he has to or not. I'm simply saying, will we ever hear him talk again? Or about him is he's retiring and he's saying thanks to the organization, and then he's done.
Even when he spoke, he wasn't a man of many words anyway.
No, so I know.
I don't want to hear this. He's gone. He's done. He was a great captain when we had him. I still
hold on a second. The Montreal Canadiens are listening to the podcast. They think Vito says he doesn't need to hear Shea Weber. Okay, let's take him off the books. He doesn't have to talk to anybody.
Take him off the books. Speaking of next captain. Since we, brought that up, who should be the next captain of the Montreal Canadiens, barring them acquiring somebody a la Shea Weber in that sense that basically would come in and you should give him the C? Is there anybody today that you're looking and say that should be the next captain of the Montreal Canadiens? Or are we going to run with three or four assistants again next year?
They're going to have a captain next year. They're going to have a captain next year.
Matt, who's the next captain?
It's... like, the name that jumps out to me is Suzuki. I don't know if it would be in his best interest to be captain. I don't know if the team is going to go that way. They might keep him as an assistant or alternate or whatever the hell they're calling it these days. But I wouldn't be I wouldn't be shocked if it was, because there's a lot of young captains now in the league. It's like part of the thing. It's part of like the team's cultures. They want to like make the young guy, the young stud, the captain, because they'll be around a while and all this other jazz. He's the highest point producer on the team. There's a lot of merit there. He's developing into a leader too. You can't ignore a guy like Gallagher. It's interesting. I don't think he'll be picked, even though he's been kind of like, you know, the number two for a very long time. And I know a lot of fans out there have been suggesting that it should be him, even with the diminishing skills and the hurts and whatever. It's going to be Edmondson.
No, I think so.
Keep in mind, I think Eddie's got another 2 years after this.
I think Eddie, with the stories we heard when he was off and how he got the song changed and he's a big guy in the room and all this other shit that was going on. I mean, I would still prefer it to be Suzuki. I still kind of think it's going to be Suzuki. But if the management of the team is thinking for one reason or another, carrying the C is going to add too much undue stress, or he's just still too young and we want to like give a little buffer, I can see a guy like Eddie putting the C on it and being that guy. He's good with the media. He speaks very well. He loves the Habs. We know the whole story with his father and how happy he was when he became a Canadian. I mean, I could see it. But I still think ultimately they're going to probably saddle Suzuki with the C.
Interesting. All right. So... Joel Edmondson, I think, look, I get he's a leader in the room, probably kind of like Carey Price was a leader in the room, blah, blah, blah. I don't think you can make him captain. And just for the simple fact that, like, it just doesn't fit. And again, like, I spoke about this often. It doesn't fit in the Habs legacy, man. Like, you can't look at the names and then, oh, Joel Edmondson is a captain in the Canadiens. Like, he hasn't been here long enough. I don't know. It's just mediocre. It's a mediocre choice, and I hate to say it because I like Joel Edmondson a lot. I think he's a great player, and I think that he probably would make a good captain. I just don't think he fits the narrative of the Montreal Canadiens and their captaincy, and so I don't think that that's really an option or should be an option. I mean, I could see it happening. Definitely, crazier things have happened, but I wouldn't. That wouldn't be my choice. I think there's a reason a guy like Austin Matthews isn't the captain, or Morgan Riley. They're not the captain in Toronto. I think there's a reason they put John Tavares there. You see what captaincy does to certain players, right? You've seen what it did to Max Pacioretty. You see what it did. Like, they crumble. It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work. You got to represent the franchise off the ice. There's a lot of distractions. You constantly got to be speaking to the media. There's no more days off in terms of that. You're held to a higher standard. And, you know, a guy like Shea Weber, because he came in with the respect and whatnot, he kind of, you know, was the perfect choice because he was stoic and he didn't have to change it. A guy like Nick Suzuki coming in and being named captain, even though maybe probably down the line he should be captain, I think it's too early. I think that if you're going to have Brendan Gallagher on your team, which it looks like they're going to have to, I think you're going to have to give it to Brendan Gallagher just because he fits in the legacy of the Montreal Canadiens. And then you could point it to why you have Brendan Gallagher. And instead of saying, oh, we're stuck with this goddamn contract, you can say, well, he's our captain. You know, this is who we're building our team around. He's the face of the franchise.
We're building our team around? Come on.
You know what I mean.
It's not necessarily building on his skill set. It's building on his character, his heart, his flame.
I know what you mean.
We're modeling it after Brendan Gallagher. He's a guy maybe with the C, gets a little bit more respect from the referees. Who knows? But
wouldn't that be a tactical play?
That would be the choice. Because the danger, again, since they're such a young team, is that you put it on Nick Suzuki, and then he has all this pressure on him, maybe regresses. Or another superstar comes in, or another, you know, they draft another guy who's, and then it's kind of like I don't know. It's just a weird situation to me. I think it's too early for Nick Suzuki. You know what I mean?
It could very well be. I wouldn't be surprised if that's ultimately what ends up getting trickled out. Like, yes, we love Nick Suzuki. He signed the big contract. He's going to be here a long time. He's going to be our 1 or 2C for a long time, but he's still just a little young. We don't want to add the undue pressure. I could easily see that being the case. What I think is the case, I mean, I could see him giving it to Galli also. And again, I think you make excellent points. It's like, let's hide the fact that he's got that big monster contract and that at best these days he's a third line winger with a mangled hand. And let's throw a C on him, and then at least maybe that'll make it'll go down a little bit better.
And I'm telling you guys, like, in terms of the media, Brendan Gallagher is the captain. He legitimately is there constantly speaking to the media.
Well, and you know what? I had a different name in mind. And Dave, the way you kind of presented the fact that, like, you know, Gallagher, and he's already talking to the media and you know, kind of build the team around not necessarily a skill set, but the type of person he is.
Byron.
I was gonna say Josh Anderson, but I really do believe Dave's right. It's gonna be Brendan Gallagher one way or another. The only way I could see it actually going to Nick Suzuki is if Kent Hughes and Gordon still think, you know, they're going on the youth movement, they're going with, you know, the future, and it's and they just say, hey, give it to him because he's the one that signed 8 years, and he's the one that's gonna, whether it's in 2 years from now, whether it's next year, in 4 or 5 years from now, we still want Nick Suzuki to be the captain. And he's already being the face of certain, you know, the LGBTQ and certain other things. He's doing certain charities, and he's already putting himself out there. But Dave, you are right about that. There's a reason why players like Austin Matthews and all those players are like that, are not the captains. You want to shield them from all that. Heck, you could even go to Colorado. Nathan McKinnon's not the captain either. It's Landeskog. So it might be better served for Nick Suzuki right now in the short term that it is somebody else like Brendan Gallagher, who has been with Montreal for a long time, has literally been through all the ups and downs of the Montreal Canadiens in the last like 15 years. And he has literally spoken to the media on three occasions now where they've been a bottom three team and dealt with that crap. So I actually, as much as I want to say, I think Josh Anderson was the guy that I was leaning towards being the captain because he's shown some leadership qualities. I think it all, at the end of the day, it's going to default to Brendan Gallagher being the captain.
Yeah, Josh Anderson was a way out of the box thought, and I appreciate that, Vito.
Rip me, baby.
Josh Anderson.
He's wearing an A next year. I'll tell you that much.
I could tell you, Eddie's gonna get Jeff Petrie's A once Jeff Petrie's moved.
If Eddie's got an A without question. Gallagher, if he's made captain, will wear C. Anderson and Suzuki will both wear A's.
What happens to Paul Byron's A? No.
He's gonna lose it.
Yeah, Paul Byron. Look, I love.
I don't know if he'll be on the team anymore, dude. Honestly,
he's just very hurt.
I like Paul Byron. I think that he's great. He served a very good. He speaks French, which is the freaking awesomest thing. So I think he was a great assistant captain or whatnot. But again, I agree. See, it's funny you mentioned the Colorado situation, right? Landeskog. So he was, I think that he's exactly the perfect example why you might want to hold off on Suzuki, right? Because he was drafted in what, 2010? And McKinnon? He was named captain in 2012.
Oh, Landeskog.
And then they drafted McKinnon in 2013. And then it's kind of like, oh, wow. Maybe we should have waited a bit before we named our
yeah, but at the same time, when drafted McKinnon, you're saying, okay, so the Colorado Avalanche couldn't have been expected to be without a captain. Because assuming Nathan McKinnon, remember, he I wouldn't say he struggled, but he wasn't the Nathan McKinnon of now.
No, for sure, for right? sure. But
so
I think
it took so let's say it took him 3 years to get to the level of play that you'd want him to be at, or superstar Nathan McKinnon. You're not going to stay without a captain for 6 years.
No, but you can name a veteran, and that's where, you know, naming Brendan Gallagher for the next 4 years until you see where exactly your team is built, and then you slot in your next captain afterwards.
It depends how they choose it, because if you go to the locker room and the locker room comes out and they're the one that say, we want this guy to be captain, I think Gallagher is going to be your captain. If the management comes and says, we're assigning, for whatever reason, if that's the decision, they are plugging Suzuki's face everywhere. He's the future. He's going to be the franchise guy for a very long time. You don't see Gallagher all that much anymore.
He was the golden boy for a long time, too. Until they draft a Shane Wright or Slafkovsky or whatever. What? They suck next year. They get a Bedard. Maybe. Then what are you going to do?
Maybe. Well, listen, it's not unheard of that they switch the C. It's not right. unheard of.
Guys.
In many ways, the C... Just for one last point, again, to me, is irrelevant in terms of the players. I don't think the players really care too much who their captain is. I think that it's a marketing tool, and especially for the Canadians. I think that the days of letting it vote in the room, I think it would be a mistake to let the players
vote. Well, I think it means a lot more for being a captain of the Montreal Canadiens than probably any other team, because there is some historical thing about being the captain of the Montreal.
Obviously, the original six, the captains matter. Like, I get that.
Like, I mean, Max Pacioretty, at the end of the day, despite what he did, and he did get a bunch of 30-goal seasons with Montreal, and I think he was still a good player. Maybe he should have never been the captain, but he's always going to be known as he was one of the captains of the Montreal Canadiens. Whether people thought he was a good one or not.
That's what I might mean on the legacy important. And that's why when I look at like a guy like Brian Gionta, it's just like, oops, how do he get in there?
He got voted. All right, guys, I want to move on. Next question is going to be about Carey Price. So we've seen a lot of players, many players and media, whatever, congratulating Carey Price and reaching out to Price, from Ovi's fist bump to Sid's phone call, to Eller's pat on the back, or to Marc-Andre Fleury's nice words of Carey Price before the Minnesota game. All of which have stated publicly that they still recognize Carey Price as being one of the best goalies, players in the game. So I ask you, over the years, have some fans and some members of the media, etc., have they been too hard on Carey Price? Now, I'm not just talking about since he got his huge contract. I'm talking about during his entire 14-year career with the Montreal Canadiens. Dave, you're a member of the media.
yes and no. It's a very tough question, because Carey Price was drafted and he had these insane expectations put on him, and he just seemed to always fall short. And I mean that in the nicest way. And fans were hard on him. And I remember him being, the whole Halak, Price and Halak debate, and how many people hated on Price, and oh, Price has to be the one traded. Price has to be one. It's Halak all the way. Okay, so he had that era of his career. Then he had the next era where, I remember him putting his hands up in the air at a game at the Bell Center as the fans gave him the Bronx cheer, right? And like that was the next era of him like constantly being underwhelming, and he couldn't perform in the playoffs. Remember, that was the knock on him. Oh, he was good in the season, but then the playoffs came around, and oh, he seemed to beg off for a bit among the fan base. And then came the next, and it just there's always seemed to be an era where he proved to be a disappointment. And arguably, you could argue the only real time, other than his Vezina Hart Trophy season, obviously there's that season, and there's the Cup run right of last year that really stands out in terms of Carey Price's career. But he's always recognized as best in the world, right? Carey Price, best goaltender in the NHL, best goaltender in the NHL.
Well, there's a reason for that too, right? And one of the reasons is if you ever looked at how many times he's bailed out the Montreal Canadiens and the shitty rosters he's had in front of him, And at the same time, you had people like Martin Brodeur calling him the most technical sound goalie and stuff like that. So that's why he has that reputation of also being the best in the world or one 100%. Of them.
Again, I'm not saying that he didn't deserve it. I'm just saying that when you have that label attached to you and you have zero results, that's when I think it becomes fair to question, and it gets fair to become harped on every single day. And when you sign, then eventually you sign, the next era is him signing this massive contract that takes up so much of the team. And that's zero other NHL teams are built that way, where they have $10.5 million invested in their number one goaltender. Well, that, yeah, of course.
There's
of
two
course.
Other goalies though. Two other goalies that are earning that kind of money, Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky.
Okay. But what I mean is that, like,
no, you know, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that there are other goalies that are paid that much. And yeah, okay, if you look at Vasilevsky, it's just, you know, look at the team in front of him, but he is Vasilevsky, and he's probably today the best goalie in the world, albeit on probably the best team in the NHL, or at least one of them.
You know, like, how many years Carey Price played? I don't even remember. He came in 2007, right? So it's been 15 years. So 15 years. And like, how many times has he been in the candidate for Vezina Trophy? Really?
I think Vezina's been nominated three or four times.
When Martin Brodeur was in the league, when Patrick Roy were in the league, they were constantly every year Vezina.
But
this guy is supposed to be the best in the world. Supposed to be the best.
Well, he's had a really bad team in front of him for a very long time.
Think about it. His best centers in front of him, they are in Plekanec.
I understand that. I get it, and that's why, you know. But it goes hand in hand, right? And I'm sorry for the cards Carey Price was dealt and whatnot for who were his centers and who were his team. But the fans are going to have to take it out on somewhere, and the fans are going to get frustrated somewhere. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't know. To me, it's like he does warrant a little bit. Obviously, not as much as he's getting, and obviously not as much. Like, people shouldn't be, you know, that I don't know who it was in the media saying, "Oh, he still doesn't speak French." Like, he obviously doesn't warrant all the hate and all that stuff. He's been great, but the thing is that if you're gonna look back like 20 years from now, and you're gonna look back and be like, "Carey Price was the best goaltender ever to play for the Montreal Canadiens," but there's literally zero to show for it.
No, well, he's not. He's not the best goaltender ever to play for the Habs.
Well, some people will argue it.
Well, I'm sure some people can. And maybe if you look at the stats and you'll look at the fact that he might have the most wins ever and et cetera, you can make like a argument based on statistics. But, you know, it ultimately comes down to championships. I think that's where you're getting at. Like, he never won. And at this point, maybe potentially he might never win. So that will always be a knock against him. But I equate it back to like a football thing with Dan Marino, right? Like, Dan Marino in his first year went to the Super Bowl. He lost, and he never went back since. But Dan Marino, you talk to anybody, is in the top five quarterbacks of all time in the sport. Not even his team. Forget his team. He'll always be the greatest Miami Dolphin ever. But, like, the sport. So I don't necessarily think maybe Carey Price is the top five goalie ever in the NHL. But you can make some arguments that he should be in the top echelon of goalies when you talk about the Habs. Now, to answer your question, again, I hate to say it's kind of like a yes, no, like Dave's saying. I firmly believe that sports, professional athletes, the same with like anybody who's in the media, you know, anybody who's a celebrity, right? If that's your chosen profession, then it comes with the jeering and it comes with the fans, if you will, giving it to you for whatever the reasons. They're the paying customers. They're the reason why you're given the salary you're given. So you need to take it. Where I draw the line is you don't attack people for their personal lives. So if fans or media are going after him like this clown from yesterday that like Dave brought up, who's saying after 15 years you should know how to speak French, like shut up, no. That's not how it works. You want the management of the organization to have to speak French? They are. They do. That's one thing. You can't expect people to come here, players, and all of a sudden learn French. It'd be nice if they did, but you can't force it on them. You can't expect it. And so when you attack people personally, no, that's wrong. And I do believe that Carey Price and frankly most people in Montreal, on the Habs, probably get it worse than almost any other team in the league. Anybody who plays here has a much higher level of standards placed upon them. They have a much bigger level of expectations that are immediately placed on them at the start of every season. That's why this team is so difficult to have adopted a rebuild, because the fans here refuse to let you lose for a prolonged period of time to ultimately get the high picks. And that's why there's been mediocrity here for so long.
But you have to factor in, there's also, when it comes to Carey Price, or when it's come to Carey Price, it hasn't only been the Montreal fans. I mean, you've had fans from all over other teams ripping on Carey Price whenever they had a chance. He lets in a banana goal if it whatever they would.
I don't give a shit about other teams' fans because they're always going to rip on the other team's players. That's what they do.
My point is, over the course of 14 years, okay, I honestly, and you want to call me biased, whatever, because you know I'm a fan of Carey Price and whatever. Yes, people have been. Some fans and some members of the media have been too hard on Carey Price. It's basically a lose-lose situation when it comes to Carey Price. If he gets the win, okay, and it wasn't he stood on his head and it was a fucking shutout, okay? He didn't get the shutout. He let in one bad goal and they focus on the one thing.
But there's going to be exceptions all the time.
The whole team doesn't score, okay? It's the Carey Price. You have those people that are just going to say whatever.
But that doesn't mean that he's been treated too unfairly in the media. You're talking about a handful of stupid degenerates out there that no matter what he does, they're always going to be critical. That doesn't mean that poor Carey Price. In the whole picture, he's been treated like most superstars on their teams get treated. In any market, they play well, everybody sings their praises, they're gods. They play bad, they get shit on.
Are you nuts? Austin Matthews could go on a 20-game streak of not scoring a single goal, and you're going to have the Toronto Maple Leafs fans being, Austin Matthews is the next coming of Jesus.
Look what they did to Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner's not Austin Matthews.
Okay, but they want to get rid of John Tavares.
No. That's not true, man.
He's having himself the best Leafs season ever.
The only reason you think that is because Austin Matthews has never gone 20 games. Austin Matthews goes 6 games pointless. He's going to get shit on, man. He's just that good of a player that it doesn't happen. So you can't use that as an example.
Even if he does get shit on, he'll never get shit on to the degree that Carey Price has had to go to.
I strongly disagree with that.
I also strongly disagree with that.
As much as I kind of want to give it to the Toronto media, and I hate how the it's always about their Canada's team and all this other shit, their scrutiny is on par or higher than it is here. Without question. I would not want to be Austin Matthews when he goes in a slump. I wouldn't want to be any of those guys when they go in a slump. John Tavares was getting ripped on day in and day out because he couldn't fucking score a goal.
William Nylander gets railed on. And if you look at his 5-on-5,
it's 32 goals this season.
It's unbelievable. And people want to trade him away for nothing because.
But anyways, to
touch back, just one last thing for Matt. Like you talk about the cups, but look at Henrik Lundqvist, okay? For example, he doesn't have any cups, okay? But he's well regarded. Why? Because of his consistency. And the thing with Carey Price at the end of the day is that when you're a franchise goaltender that's drafted 5th overall, when you're a franchise goaltender that's drafted ahead of a guy like Andrei Kopitar, when you're a goaltender like Carey Price, who is now getting paid $10.5 million, there's too many times where he's been outplayed and inconsistent. He got outplayed by Yaroslav Halak and lost the net during that first stretch. There's times where he let out in those banana goals and stuff like that. There just hasn't been a consistency of, wow, Carey Price, top of his game consistency.
I think that's
the knock on Carey
Price. I think when it comes to the Montreal fan base, Montreal Canadiens in general, we put our goalies on a certain level. Okay, when you look at the goalies that Montreal's had in the past, the ones that were called franchise-defining goalies, the Patrick Roy's, the Kent Dryden's, all those big names, the moment you hear Carey Price says, he's the best, he was the best Montreal Canadian, and they put that, it automatically gets people to say, no, he's not the best for X, Y, and Z reasons. Oh, he's shit because he let in those goals. We as a fan base look at our goalies in a different light than other teams.
Yeah, that's true. Look at Huet. Look at the love that Cristobal Huet got. He was not a very good goaltender, but he was beloved here. He was loved.
Sure. And, Theodore.
Same goes with Halak, but it's been proven. He's not a very good goaltender also. He's not a starting goaltender in the NHL. But people loved him here during that run. People, for sure, the goaltending position here is like, it's a myth.
It's a legend thing, right? And the big-name goalies that we've had in the past, not Huet, not Andy Moog. I'm talking about like the Patrick.
Andy Moog.
No, but just to say, because those guys have been there, Jeff Hackett and whatever. I'm talking about the big name goalies, the ones that you actually say their jerseys got retired, whatever. They won cups, and Carey Price unfortunately couldn't bring a crap team to win the Stanley Cup. So because of that, he's never going to – it's like Matt said, he might not be regarded as the best goalie of the Montreal Canadiens, even though statistically he is, or at least he's up there.
He's in the most like you said, the most revered position in the team with a long history of some of the best goaltenders to ever play the sport. I mean, he's decided to sign the big contract here. The moment he put pen to paper and took $10.5 million and signed 8 years or whatever it is, that comes with the door open to be criticized when you don't play up to that level.
One, the fans are – I'm going to end this point. The fans are not paying his salary. They're not paying his cap hit. Two, it was administration who gave him that. What do you expect them to say? No.
It doesn't matter. All of them exist because of fans. If there were no fans, none of them would exist. He's getting paid $10.5 million. That takes a massive chunk out of
the team. But the fans have no say in what
there's responsibility that comes with anything. I get that, was he going to say no to that ridiculous contract? Fine. But that doesn't mean you're absolved of all responsibility because you get a ridiculous contract. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we as the fans have to stop acting like we're the ones paying his contract.
If you take out his checks. If you take out the fringe element that you were talking about, the crazy nutters that are always going to be critical and say dumb things no matter what, if you talk only about the regular, normal, rational people, no, I don't believe Carey Price or anybody else for that matter has been treated unfairly.
Cap hit aside, put it the cap hit. I want a quick yes or no or quick answer to this question. Cap hit aside, at this stage of his career and where Montreal is going and what Montreal is currently doing as an organization, do you prefer to see him finish his career with the Montreal Canadiens, 4 years left on his contract, or do you prefer that he gets traded to another team at a chance to win a Stanley Cup, a contending team that he chooses to lift his no movement clause to go to?
Like, what do I want for him, or what do I selfishly want?
Both.
I would love to see him win a cup because I think he's a good guy and he deserves it, but no, I'd rather see him stay here for 4 years and finish as a Hab.
Dave.
I think he should stay here as well. I think that, you know, I that's what I believe. I believe that he shouldn't tarnish his legacy. I think that not that it would be tarnished, but I mean, you know,
Bork is not tarnished.
I don't know, man. How do you won that cup in Boston? I think that his legacy is not tarnished. That's the poor phrasing. But I think had he won that cup in Boston, it would have meant infinitely more than him going to play for Colorado and winning a cup there. Just the same with Dominik Hasek. Just the same with Curtis Joseph. Just the same with all these guys. Had they actually won the cup with the team that they were, supposed to win the cup on, I think that would have meant infinitely more. So I think that I would like to see him finish here. I think that he has unfinished business here. I think that there's still a chance with this administration that they could do something. I don't think it's too late to perhaps get him a cup. And I think that, you know, you sign him that contract, you got to honor it. You got to build and you got to build around him now. And I think that hopefully he could play up to expectations.
Okay. I want half of his contract to stay in Montreal. I want him to do 2 more years in Montreal and then give him a chance to go win the Stanley Cup elsewhere. And I'm saying that as a Carey Price fan. I want my cake and I want to eat it too.
Sweater off your wall.
He's got 4 years left. Give me 2 years of him in Montreal and then give him a chance. If in those Vito 2 years,
wants Carey Price to win cup with the Leafs. Wow, can't believe
terrible,
it.
Whoa, terrible whoa. Take.
I never
can't
said that. Said I never said that. Said that. You guys don't put words in my mouth. I'll never say that. That's one. Okay, quickly, Raphael Harvey-Pinard was called up. He's currently the highest point getter for the Laval Rockets, and Laval Rockets haven't clinched the playoff spot yet. Should they have called somebody else? Should they have let Harvey-Pinard stay in Laval and let him do his thing? Or are you okay with him being in Montreal? Dave, quickly.
I'm okay with him being in Montreal. The AHL serves as a development league for the NHL. When the Canadians need players, you're not going to go get an inferior player. You're not going to get – like, imagine being told, hey, you're the best player. You deserve a call-up. But, hey, we really need you to clinch a playoff spot down here in the AHL. So forego that money that you're going to get in the NHL. Raphael Harvey-Pinard has a limited chance to prove his worth in the NHL. So I absolutely think that he should – it's fine. I'm fine with it. I don't care. As much as I want the Laval Rockets to do well –
I disagree. I think they should have gone with somebody else. I think he's their best points, their best point getter. As much as it's a developmental league, these guys take pride. There's most of the players on the Laval Rocket that will never ascend to the NHL. This is their highest level that they're going to succeed in.
Okay,
so you should You should have left him. I mean, yes, the money thing is important, but at the end of the day, whatever he's going to make for this one game, and then whatever Armia comes back potentially, he gets sent back down. I mean, they're in a playoff hunt. They haven't clinched yet. You bring up another body just to play. The Habs will not win potentially another game for the rest of the year. It's not about winning. It's about seeing what you got out there, and he's probably better suited to try to go as far as he can in the playoffs. And imagine just for a second, hypothetically, Laval doesn't clinch by one game. By one goddamn game because you took him out there. Back. Maybe. I
Who's
don't know.
Say? I mean, look, he's been
Who's
there all year. He's been
Who's
there all
to say?
He's
yes.
been there all year, and they haven't clinched the playoffs. So it's not as if his presence is wow.
Imagine how much further they might be away from clinching the playoffs if he wasn't there the whole time. I'm just saying you had no reason. You needed a body. You could have taken any other person. But you took their best point getter.
These guys don't dream of playing for the Laval Rocket and to make the playoff, the first round of the playoffs in the AHL.
Agreed. I bet you Rafi would rather be on the team.
You're wrong. I will talk to him
and I said, hey, Rafi, you're gonna play 9 minutes and you're gonna be on the Habs, but you're gonna lose 4-0.
I would rather play against the Syracuse Crunch and eke out a 2-1 victory than play on the Montreal Canadiens. Shouldn't play hockey anymore. You should pack up his bag.
You're messing with the context.
You're thinking that Harvey Pinard is going to get another guaranteed chance in the NHL. I'm not saying he's going to get a guaranteed chance.
I'm saying that he's going to come and play minimal minutes, make very little impact on the game, when in fact he can go further and be seen longer and be shown as a top guy in the NHL, torching it up, giving him a better opportunity
for next year. You're a number one here on the Get Puck podcast, right? And hey, tomorrow TSN 690 or TSN TV calls you and says, hey, man, we need you for one segment. And you're like, oh, man, I wish. But I could be the top guy on the Get Puck podcast. Of course you're going to take that opportunity.
It's context.
I like what you did there, Dave. I like it. I dig it. All right, guys.
Soft take.
Rafael, so to conclude that specific question and topic, Dave basically hates the AHL. And Matt,
exactly. I love the Laval Rocket. Don't get me wrong. I work with them all the time.
Matt puts the AHL to another level. With that being said, guys, we're going to call it here. This is episode 28, sponsored by Cafe Victoria's. Once again, please check them out. Very good food, fantastic coffee, fantastic drinks, and a very friendly and fun environment. They're located again on 8600 Langelier in Saint-Léonard, Quebec. Don't forget to follow us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and most importantly, we are also about 9 days away. We're 9 days away for the giveaway. So don't forget, we're doing a giveaway for a Montreal Canadiens jersey. The winner gets their chance or gets to choose their player and number that they want. So all you have to do to participate is subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on one of the other social media platforms. You can improve your chances of winning by tagging two additional friends on any one of those social media platforms. So Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That'll be all, everybody. Thank you. This was Get Pucked.